This afternoon we're thinking about the Psalm 81, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and the law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. They call us in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured for ever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This is very much a psalm of worship. It was a psalm written to be used whenever God was publicly worshipped in the temple in olden times. At the beginning of the psalm, we have a call for worship. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. The people were taught that as they worshipped God, they were coming into the presence of God. They were singing unto God, the one who was their strength. This is something we need to be aware of. Whenever we come to church, we come to worship God. And that's important, that we realize this, that we're conscious of this, that we're in the presence of God. Worship will only have reality when the people who worship understand something of the one whom they are worshipping. Church is not simply a place where we come to socialize, where we come to meet other people, to greet other people. It's not a place where we come that we might feel good. Church is a place that we come to in order that we might meet with God. And if we don't appreciate that, we'll end up coming to church and we'll go through a ritual and we'll go through a formality and we'll occupy a pew just to be there. And we'll know nothing of God. We might hear a sermon, but we'll know nothing of God because we haven't set our hearts to worship God. And this is so important. It is the same where prayer is concerned. As we pray, we need to appreciate that we are in the presence of God as we pray. We're worshipping God. We're right there before him, and he's right there with us. If we appreciate that, if we get a sense of the great personage whom we are coming before, we will have humility, we will have fear, we will have faith, we will have reverence. The presence of God, but so often our prayers are relegated to mere performances of duty, because we don't appreciate the one whom we are coming before. So we need to realize we're coming before God. But these people were also told to make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. So they were to come before God with that sense of reverence, but there also could be excitement in their hearts. They were coming before the great God of Israel. And that was an occasion for joy. In fact, they were instructed to take the psalm, and then they were to bring the musical instruments to accompany the singing. So there was to be a loud noise, and there was to be a joyful noise. This emphasizes the importance of coming before God, not only with reverence and sobriety, but also with joy and with happiness. Why? Because God accepts us in his presence. You see, he is holy, he is just, he is pure. We have no right to any good thing from him, but yet we can draw near into his presence, and we know that he hears us, we know that he accepts us, we know that he does not and he will not turn us away. And What a wonderful thing that is, and therefore he is deserving of our praises and of our joy. And so often there is little joy in worship. There is a sullenness. There is a going through the motions. There's no sense of excitement, no sense of enthusiasm. And that ought not to be. The Lord Jesus Christ said that his people's joy should be full. Their joy should be complete. Perhaps it would be good to pose a question now. How real is your faith? You may have religion, but do you have faith? There is a difference. Many, many people have religion, but they don't have faith. They don't have that real sense of peace. They don't have that personal communion with God because they have no union with Jesus Christ. So where do you stand with God today? As you worship him, do you have reality? And if you don't have reality, what's going on? What's wrong? It means you're unforgiven. It means you're outside of the family of God. It means you need to be saved. You need Christ. You need to come and confess your sins to the one who loved you and gave himself for you, to the one who is your great high priest. You need to come to him and confess how much you need him. And that is so important. And from the very beginning of this psalm, this truth is enforced. But this psalm of worship also tells a story. It tells a story of a people who were greatly blessed by God, who were led by God, who were brought out of the land of Egypt by God. And yet, they turned away from the Lord. And this was a tragedy. Verse 11 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." Here were a people of privilege, and yet they wouldn't listen to the voice of God. And that is being repeated today. You may know the gospel. You may know that you need to be saved. You may know that you need to be a Christian. But you will not hearken to the Lord's voice. You will not listen to what he has to say. You turn away. You make excuses. You go your own way. Is that how it is with you? You're saying no to Jesus Christ and no to the gospel. And then in verse 13 we have a desire that God has for his people. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Oh, that my people had listened. If only they had listened, God felt for his people. He felt grieved with his people because they refused to listen. God has a message for you. And the message comes in the form of a gift. The gift is his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here is the greatest gift from the greatest giver. Here is the greatest love from the greatest lover. God loved you so much that he sent his son. Here was the greatest offering from the greatest offerer. God loved you so much that he gave his son to die for you. And yet you refuse this gift. God is saying, oh, if you only had accepted the gift. Things will be made different in your life if only you will reach out your hand and take Christ. Will you take Christ as your Savior? Will you accept him as your Redeemer? I pray that you will. Listen to the voice of God today. That your faith might be real and that it might be genuine. I thank you so much for listening.